You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, it's Wait a minute, Pokemon. Wait, oh, okay, I caught it. It's time for Nerd Overload, everybody. The pop and geek culture show that is as obsessed with Pokemon Go as you are. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you. Thank you all for tuning in this week. A bunch of news, but first we're going to get into some stuff we've been checking out. And do we just want to get the first one out of the way quick that we've all been checking out?
Yeah. I mean, I already mentioned it.
You mentioned it.
Pokemon Go.
It's Pokemon Go.
Came out last night.
For some people.
Yeah, that
came
are
out
not...
earlier for some people.
Oh, yeah. For some people who... made an Australian iTunes account so they could download it early.
And people with Android phones.
Yeah. So we've talked about it before. It's a Pokemon, like, it's almost like a fitness app, kind of.
In a way. I mean, it encourages you to get out your house and walk around.
Yeah, it ties into a GPS, and you walk around, and Pokemon pop up, and you catch them. You catch them all. It's what you got to do.
So, I mean, they show up on your map, and you click on them, and it goes into like an AR, altered reality.
Augmented reality.
How did I mess that anagram? I can't talk today.
Wow.
Up too late catching Pokemon.
Just cut that bunch out.
Okay.
It goes into an augmented reality camera
thing.
Mode where you actually have to find where the Pokemon is around you.
And then
throw balls at it to catch it.
And there's a battling system and stuff that we haven't tried yet.
I don't think any of us are level 5 yet.
Yeah, none of us have got to level 5 yet to be able to actually battle at the gyms.
Yeah.
Man, and I'm seeing all these local gyms around with Pokemon in them. I'm like, must be nice not to have anything to do.
Right, exactly. You know what? I like it. I like the game. It's not Pokemon. It's if you go into it thinking it's like
Pokemon, you're
the
pretty disappointed.
Original games, you're gonna have a bad time. But for what it is, it's a lot of fun.
Don't go in expecting it to make Pokemon real life.
Like that trailer that they had.
Yeah.
That Super Bowl trailer.
Well, that trailer was hype.
Oh man.
Like it was a really awesome trailer, way too awesome of a trailer for what
it
actually is.
Yeah.
So dial back your expectations, but still, you know, get ready to have a good time because it's a fun little...
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun and it's free. I mean, you can make it cost money, but you can play it for free.
So far, none of us have had to
buy
any money. I mean, they give you plenty of Pokeballs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can go to on these little places on the map that are called Pokestops, and you can, you know, get Pokeballs.
You can get random
like
items, yeah.
Yeah, and they're different, like...
Landmarks,
points of interest on a GPS, I guess.
Yeah, the whole point is it's kind of supposed to get you out and kind of walk around and check out things that are around you. And that's kind of neat, because the company that did this, Niantic, they did a game called Ingress, which is very much the same thing.
This is not Pokemon, so nobody cared.
Right, nobody played it. Their servers were having some troubles last night, though. They were having some real issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had the Australian version early, we had hinted at a minute ago. And I didn't actually get the head start I thought I would because the servers were down for most of the day.
That's what you get.
Yeah. But it seems like they worked out a lot of the kinks now, and it just fires right up. And
Yeah. Be warned, though, because much like a mapping GPS system would, it's got to be on the entire time you're using it, and it can drain battery.
Can and will.
Yeah.
This morning I took just one quick lap around my block just to kind of see what I can get before we recorded, and it ate 10% of my battery.
Womp womp.
Yeah, real not great. But I guess they're working on it, so I don't know.
We will see.
Yeah. So yeah, go check it out. It's a phone game. It's free. Why not?
I mean, there's microtransactions, but the microtransactions aren't really all that bad.
Yeah, they seemed reasonably priced.
Well, that's good. I still won't pay them, but...
No.
But I am definitely thinking about getting that $30-$35 whatever it is bracelet.
Oh, the dongle, so you can just...
What exactly does that do?
From what I remember reading about it, if you're wearing it, it'll buzz when a Pokemon is near, and
you don't have to have the app open.
You just tap it, and it will attempt to catch said Pokemon.
Yeah. Which would be good for, like, for me if I were out jogging, because I don't want to have that app open while I'm out jogging. It's staring at my phone when I should be, like, looking at the road or people coming towards me.
Yeah, that's the other thing. This game is probably going to kill somebody.
Probably, yeah. Someone's going to wander right into traffic trying to catch a slant.
That one
whatever.
Police department issuing that I don't want to call it a warning, but a...
Well, people were apparently going into their police station because it was a Pokestop, and you don't actually have to go into the buildings. You just have to be near them, and they're like, "Don't you don't have to come in to get your Pokeballs.
It's okay.
please don't." And then it was like, also, pay attention to where you're going. That Sandshrew isn't going anywhere fast.
See, that's cool. I'm glad they had a kind of a sense of humor about that. That's great. But
even the app itself says, like, pay attention to your surroundings, and it shows like an image of a dude looking at his phone, like right into the jaws of a Gyarados.
Yeah. Overall, it's fun. I like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's
a time waster.
Hopefully it will get people off their butts.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping. I hope I lose some weight from this. I've definitely wanted to just get up and walk around, and I never want to do that.
It's a weird incentive. I don't know why, but it works. Like, I want to go.
Then Pokemon wants you to sweat.
Well, you got to be the very best, like no one ever was. Like, just that means getting off your butt.
Yeah, just wait till you get an egg and, like, you so many steps hatch it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. Man.
I got to go walk. I got to hatch this egg.
who wants to go for a jog?
Yeah. Beyond that, I'll tell you, I did one thing real quick. I watched the movie The BFG. It was based on the Roald Dahl book.
Big Friendly Giant.
Big Friendly Giant. Yeah, not the other.
Not the other
thing
it could
which,
be.
Which, to be honest, I kind of thought of.
Not The Big Frickin' Gun?
No.
Yeah. No.
That'd be a good movie, though. I'd watch that.
But no, it was fine. It was fun. I wasn't really too up on the source material, so I don't really know how to compare it to that, but... It looked nice. It was inoffensive. It's a Spielberg movie, so I mean, it was pretty high quality. So if you have a kid, you know, go see it. That seems it's just a good movie.
The girl in it looks like if they went back in time around Matilda time and grabbed Mara Wilson and made her
very
be
much
in another movie.
Yeah, very much so. And I didn't realize that what's his name from A Flight of the Conchords was the voice of the main bad giant.
What, Jermaine?
Jermaine Clement. Yeah, that's it. There weren't a ton of, like, celebrity or, like, nameable or notable, like...
I think that would be distracting for something
it would,
like the BFG.
Yeah. Although Bill Hader was one of the other giants, I guess.
Nice.
So that's cool.
Well, Bill Hader's been real heavy in getting his voice work done.
And that's good. He's really good at it.
He was in Finding Dory.
Oh, he was.
We also saw. We saw.
He's also in Inside Out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he was Fear was one of my favorite characters.
Yep, he's Fear. He's also one of the two voices of BB-8.
Huh.
Because BB-8 is made up of two voices from two people.
I did not know that.
Yeah, Bill Hader was one of them.
Oh, right on. This is Bill Hader cast.
Yeah.
But yeah, we saw Finding Dory last week, and it was good. I'm not a huge fan of the original Finding Nemo, which I'm sure is sacrilege to a lot of people listening.
Get out. Just get out of my house.
I liked it, but it was never one of my favorites.
Yeah, it always felt to me like the most kiddie of all the Pixar movies. Like, this is the one that's for babies.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that. I think
Bug's Life.
I think, well,
when was the last time you saw it, though?
Yeah, it's true. I haven't seen it since, you know, when it came out in, like, 2004 or whatever.
I think the Dory character was definitely more for kids than anything. But I think the story of Finding Nemo was very serious and kind of grown up about loss and sheltering.
And grief.
And grief and sheltering your children. And so, when is it time to kind of stop babying your kids and stuff?
Yeah.
Maybe you should watch it again.
Yeah, maybe,
oh,
last,
might have to.
Maybe yeah. last time I watched it, I was...
a kid?
In a mood.
Well, in a mood, and also just of an age where that's just what I'm going to think.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm a grumpy
teenager.
When it came out, I was probably senior in high school, maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So, yeah, I was probably, you know.
Yeah. But I do agree that Dory was probably the most kidified, most kid-friendly part of Finding Nemo. Was this, how was this? Because I've been a little hesitant to watch it.
They try to give her a little more
backstory.
Backstory. but it's, anyway, it's nothing that interesting. Like, she had parents, and that's about it. I mean, she's always had the memory loss. She's just okay, born
so that
with was it.
So that's not a thing that happened to her. She was just always had the memory thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they deal with it in a really good way and make it feel like, I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say here. They deal with mental illness in a mature and well thought out way.
Okay.
Which is very much, they treat it like it's a mental illness and not, but they still
like,
kind of.
Whoa, she's so silly.
They still kind of do that, though.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, with her parents, it's, you know, it's obviously like parents trying to deal with this.
Okay. Yeah, with their kid that can't remember past
you
5 minutes.
They even ask the question, will she ever be able to, you know, survive or live on her own?
Interesting.
Yeah. Will she forget us?
Yeah.
Okay, that's really interesting. I'm kind of.
You should. It's
I mean, I want to watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, the backstory is kind of at odds with the way they present the character sometimes. Because, I mean, a lot of times the joke is she can't remember.
Okay.
But then a lot of times it's not. A lot of times it's a serious issue. I don't know. It was good enough.
Good enough. Well,
give it a watch.
For a Pixar sequel, good enough is usually about...
Oh, yeah, it's way better than their recent sequels have been.
Yeah.
Although not Toy... I still think Toy Story 3 is amazing.
The Toy Story sequels have always been
those are great. Yeah. Those when we talk about Pixar sequels, I think those get left out of the conversation because those are like the...
They're good.
The abnormality where they're all pretty solid. I even like Toy Story 3.
I love Toy Story 3.
I do too, and it kills me on an emotional level.
Yeah. Oh,
if I felt human emotions, I would probably be real sad at that ending to Toy Story 3.
3 is probably my favorite of them.
I don't know. I'm a classic guy.
I really love the classic.
The first one's my least favorite.
It looks the most dated.
Well, the writing is very 90s. Everybody's kind of like I'm a wacky jerk. Edgy jerk.
But then again, that was Woody's... That was his personality, though. He was, because he was the favorite toy, he was kind of the jerk character.
I mean, he literally tries to kill Buzz at one point, like push him out the window or whatever. Like, yeah. It's weird.
Again, that was his arc, though, to become less of a jerk and kind of more...
Yeah, he grew as a person.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Person toy.
Toy man. Yeah. But not like the Superman villain.
Yeah, no, not like the Superman villain. Nice. Good pull there. I like that. I am kind of tired of Pixar sequels, except Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Much excited for Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
The Incredibles is probably one of my favorite Pixar movies.
Yeah, it's one
period.
Of mine.
Mm-hmm. That and Brave.
Brave's really good.
I've never seen Brave.
It's good.
It's good.
You should check that one out.
It's really good.
Mm-hmm. Like, Toy Story 2 is like the first movie they did where it's like, maybe we should make people cry in our movies.
Yeah. The culmination of that
being
the first 10 minutes of Up.
Oh, stop it. Getting misty already.
And Finding Dory probably won't make you cry.
Okay, that's good.
And there's a couple like moments that are kind of...
Sad-ish?
Sad, yeah. But for the most part, you probably won't cry.
Okay, that's good. If I had human emotions, then...
Little do you guys all know, Sam actually isn't a person. He is
I'm an algorithm.
He's an AI construct that we run when we start the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually running on a computer.
As we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing stuff, actually.
It's like Hatsune Miku.
I live in the cyber zone.
In the VR zone.
The VR zone. Oh, that's something we could talk about real quick.
Speaking of the VR zone.
We almost... got to try out the VR, a VR headset.
VR.
Yeah. Yeah, almost is the underlying term. You want to explain that one?
So on the PlayStation VR website, they have the experience, the PlayStation VR, and you put in your zip code and they give you like places around you that are doing a demo on certain days.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, which as of recording this was a Wednesday.
Yeah.
They said there was one in Mansfield at the GameStop up in Mansfield from noon to 6 p.m.
Yeah, that's
we
what
got,
it said.
We got there, and it was actually noon to 3 p.m.
Oh.
Yeah, the Sony guy decided to pack up three hours early.
Yeah, pack it in 3 hours early and get out of there, so we did not get to try.
And we got there about 4, or about 4:30, and yeah, no, did not happen.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I would have loved to tell you all about the VR zone, but I can't because Sony messed up.
Yeah. Blame Sony.
Yeah. Write him an angry email for me.
There you go.
Get that Sony rep in trouble. I got that the Tokyo Mirage set. I cannot say that.
Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
We got that.
There you go.
I got Tokyo Mirage Sessions. What is it? Hashtag FE or
something like that.
Sharp FE.
Sharp FE.
It's a crossover between the Shin Megami Tensei. See, I just nailed that.
Yeah.
Shin Megami Tensei franchise and Fire Emblem. And it plays mostly like a Persona game.
Yeah, it's a Wii game.
Yeah, it's for Wii U. It's a JRPG.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it plays like a Persona game with Fire Emblem characters in it, kind of.
Okay.
Because in the Persona games, you go around and you basically collect monsters, like kind of like Pokemon.
Mm.
But, well, you don't collect monsters in this one, but each character has a monster assigned to them.
And they're all
They're all based on Fire Emblem characters, but they don't really look like them.
It's like Zombie Crom.
Yeah, like Crom from not the newest Fire Emblem, but the one before that, the main character in that's not the player character.
My husband.
Okay. Yeah, your Fire Emblem husband.
Okay.
He's the main character's like alternate monster teammate, but he doesn't look like him like hardly at all.
Really?
He's got his face like wrapped up. And he's got blue hair, but he's got glowing like monster eyes.
Huh.
Like, I mean, it looks like a mashup between a Persona monster and Crom, but like anybody who's coming into this like wanting to see Fire Emblem characters, that's not what they're gonna want.
Gotcha. Okay.
So if you're super hyped on Fire Emblem, like you're kind of gonna be disappointed because it's more leans toward the other franchise.
Okay.
Which for me, that's fine because I like the Shin Megami Tensei series.
Okay, so
especially Persona.
Yeah. So let's talk about a gameplay then. Is it does it play well? Is the story decent? Is it is
yeah
it
the
good
story
in that sense?
Is pretty cool. It's about Japanese idol culture, which is strange.
That's weird.
But interesting. I don't know if I'm quite far enough in it to give any sort of synopsis on what exactly is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird for Nintendo to publish something like it because it's very niche.
Yeah, that is weird.
Turn-based battles, RPG battles, dungeons.
Huh.
I mean,
things.
Yeah.
The only thing that I don't like as like a watcher or observer, I don't know what
the observer.
They didn't dub it.
Yeah, it's not dubbed. All the audio is in Japanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was like a quick port.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, they obviously spent a lot of time on it because they cut a lot of content, unfortunately.
They did. Yeah. Well, Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, they got to keep their family-friendly image, and they cut a lot of, I don't know, cleavage.
Yeah. that's par for the course for Nintendo, so
yeah.
That's fine. Whatever.
I usually don't care when they do that, but it seems weird in this game because it's very much it's about idol culture and stuff, and they changed a whole level.
Really?
There's one about becoming like a glamour model.
Oh, okay.
And like in the level, there's like bikini shots all over the walls, and there's a photographer that I haven't gotten to it yet, but it looks like they changed a lot of it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And this is more like changing the actual content instead of like just making a shirt less low cut or whatever.
Okay, that's yeah. I don't know how I feel about that, but it's Nintendo. They can it's their game. They can do what they want with it. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm not gonna complain on the internet or whatever.
Yeah,
make a 10-minute YouTube video where I whine about it. But I mean, it's definitely something you should go in knowing.
Yeah,
like if that's important to you, then. But it's a really good game. The gameplay is really solid. I put in about 4 hours.
Very cool.
4 hours, and I still can't tell you what it's about. But 4 hours.
I've read a few comics. I don't know.
You don't say.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. One that came out, actually the first issue came out. It's 5-issue miniseries. First issue came out a couple weeks ago, but I finally got around to reading it. And the second one just came out yesterday, Wednesday. It's Deadpool v. Gambit. With the tagline being "the V is for verses," it's definitely a comedy book.
I would hope.
Yeah, it's written by Ben Acker and Ben Blacker, who are a comedy writing duo. They
they were apparently born to be a comedy writing duo with,
basically,
with those names.
Yeah, yeah. They were most well known for a live stage show that they did for years out in California called The Thrilling Adventure Hour, where it was the whole thing. And they podcasted out. It was actually tied in with the Nerdist Network there for the longest time. It was like old-timey radio. So they were doing like old-time radio plays like Sparks Nevada, the Marshall on Mars, and the Beyond Belief, the two super rich like socialites that also see ghosts. And it's all comedy, and it featured like Paul F. Tompkins and a whole bunch of other
most
notably Paul
and
Paul F.
Tompkins.
Yes. So they've actually done a few one shots for Marvel here and there, because I think they're on good terms with the editorial staff over there at Marvel.
Yeah.
But this is the first major series that they like miniseries that they've written. And the whole first issue is just Gambit and Deadpool, Gambit the X-Men, and Deadpool,
the Deadpool.
just fighting each other throughout New York, dressed as Spider-Man and Daredevil, all to cover up a super elaborate heist, like jewel heist. And just the writing is really like just goofy, funny. And there's an extended sequence that features Hamilton, the musical, and Lin-Manuel Miranda. But they actually it's drawn in a very specific way. But there's one character in it that pops up a couple times, and he has Alexander Hamilton's like face from like the $20 bill or whatever. And there's actually a little box book that said one of these faces had to be changed for legal reasons. Can you spot it? So they couldn't actually use his likeness, or maybe that was the joke. Maybe it was actually just kind of a joke, because I don't know. Miranda seems like the kind of guy that would be super into having his face in a comic book.
Yeah,
but he pops up a couple times, and at one point they had a song stuck in their head, or Deadpool did, and then later on he starts singing like one of the Hamilton songs. Like, why do I know this? What is going on? But it's really funny, and it starts off. It's like almost like a frame story. It tells what happened with the last time that they met up and how that's tying into the next four issues, which is going to be the actual plot of the book. It's great. It's hilarious. And it's only $2.99, so there's no reason not to pick it up. Really, really good. Or wait till trade, because it's only five issues.
Trade will come out real quick.
A trade will come out quick. It'll probably be about $15 is usually how it goes.
Cool.
So
I've noticed lately that I prefer to pick up trades than
they're easier to store.
Books.
Yeah, they're easier to store. They usually
save
you a little money.
I just can't keep up with I can't keep track of when what comes out when and when I should be going to the shop to get it.
You see, I'm OCD, so, and I'm also a computer. I'm a computerized program, I have no
problem
with that.
You read them all through the internet.
Yeah, I read the bits and bytes.
Yeah.
So
one of those ones and zeros.
Yeah, I know. It's great.
You got a direct line into Comixology.
I just plugged right in. Yep. My Ethernet plug is just straight line to Comixology, you know.
that's robo-dirty.
Well, now it is. All right.
I got something.
Yeah, go for it.
No.
I have...
No.
Oh, no. Go ahead. No. It's okay.
I don't know. I feel like I need Cody's permission now.
Fine.
Good.
You got 2 minutes.
I've been playing a game on Steam called Town of Salem.
All right.
It's basically the game Werewolf. The
card game?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Except you're on the internet, and you are in a village, mostly of idiots.
Well, it's online. So.
Yep. Depending on your role, how to win the game. Like, you've got everyone's got a role. There is no just, like, generic villager,
mm-hmm.
I've noticed. Typically in a game, there are three mafia members, a godfather, and two others. A mafioso or a forger or whatever, it depends on what the role is. A serial killer whose job is to basically just kill indiscriminately at night. And whatever the townie roles tend to be, they all have different abilities they can do. A doctor can block somebody from getting attacked at night.
Is it set in the modern day?
Nope.
No?
No, it's done. It looks very, I don't know, pilgrimy.
Huh. But okay. There's mafia guys.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well...
The Mayflower Mafia.
But depending on your role, it depends if you get, you know, if you can like BS your way through it.
Mm.
I almost made it all the way to the end of a game as a serial killer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's tough to do.
Yeah. There's like the lynching things, like in Werewolf.
Okay. Like,
they vote during the day to who to kill or whatever. Investigators can investigate a person at night, and it will give them clues on what their role is.
Okay. This is a multiplayer game? It's not a... Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right, is it just like card-based or...
No. It's all digital.
Like digital card. No. Like how does it play? Like what's the interface?
You see the village. There's a chat window down in the bottom, and you can like whisper to people like on the list, and it'll tell you. It'll just tell everyone if you're whispering to somebody or if someone's whispering to you. There's your depending on your role, there might be another interface. Like if you're in the mafia, it'll list all the mafia people. There's a list of everybody who's playing. There's a list of dead people in the graveyard. A list of whatever roles are present in the game, and then when you die, it tells you your role and stuff.
But you don't have to like move around or anything.
No. The most moving you do is at night if you have like a night ability. There's a list of people, and you click the different people. Oh, and also there's an interface that tells you your role and what you can do and what your goal is.
Okay, that helps.
Yep. There are other game modes that have various other crazy weird roles, like stuff that gets a little more fantastical. Like there's a witch, and the witch can control someone at night to make them do something else, use their role or whatever. Just things like that. I was a vampire once in a weird game, and I was killed night one by a vampire hunter.
Oh, there you go.
Don't even know how that happened.
Wow.
Everyone was like, wow, lucky shot.
How did you figure it out? Yeah.
I mean, it's a different game. It's fun. It's frustrating sometimes.
It can be. I can understand that, sure.
Yeah.
Very much about manipulating the other players.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Especially if you are the executioner role, which is a neutral role. And your whole point is to get the town to lynch your target.
Mm.
It'll tell you at the very beginning of the game who your target is. And you got to basically make a case to get that person hung.
It's like it's like the suicidal guy in Werewolf. That's my favorite one. Like, I'm the werewolf right here.
I was playing a game of werewolf at Origins, and some kid was just sitting there like, yo, I'm the werewolf. And nobody believed him. And he was the werewolf.
Yeah, he actually was it. Yeah, that's great. That's great.
But no one wanted to listen to him because he was a kid. And he was annoying.
Yeah.
That'd be great for VR.
There is a VR werewolf coming out.
Yeah, that's I think Ubisoft is doing it, aren't they?
It looks interesting because you can like lean and like whisper to the person next to you, and that only they can hear you.
That's cool.
Those kind of games will be really cool in VR.
Oh yeah, it'll be amazing.
Yeah,
I'm assuming because I've never tried VR.
Jeez, be bitter about it.
Gosh.
Well, the website said six. We should have been there till six.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go ahead and take a break here, and when we come back, we'll get into the news.
Woo!
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes. MB Subculture is the one-stop shop for all your geeky needs, from comics and collectibles to unique custom costumes, masks, makeup, and more. MB Subculture is located at 127 South Sandusky Avenue in downtown Bucyrus. 419-562-0404 and online at subcultureoh.com.
We're back. That was Keep Fishing by Weezer. No real reason why we played it. Just
it's a good one.
It's a good song. I like it a lot. We all like it a lot, I think.
The video has the Muppets. So,
yeah, so.
You know, can't go wrong with that.
Exactly. So let's get into a little bit of news here. First on the docket, I guess there's a new Iron Man. And it's a woman?
Girl, yeah.
Iron Girl, yeah. So this is spinning out of the new Marvel reboots or whatever, I guess.
Whatever they're called.
The Civil War 2, I guess.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. the character's name is Riri Williams. It's a 15-year-old African-American girl. And she is going to be the next Iron Man.
Iron Person,
I guess. They keep calling her the next Iron Man. So I don't know. Maybe she's going to be wearing... like dude armor.
Yeah, I think it's just the same armor.
Yeah, and just pretending to be.
From what I was reading, yeah, I don't know. She is a top MIT student.
Okay, makes sense.
And she found an old set of Iron Man armor, and she has been reverse engineering it in her dorm room.
Oh, okay. That kind of makes sense.
Got Tony's attention.
Right on, okay.
And she's really cool looking. I like her design.
Yeah, it's a very cool design. Yeah. Oh, I agree with that.
I don't know how she fits the fro in the helmet.
The guy who created her, I guess, also created Miles Morales.
Yeah, okay.
Brian and Jessica Jones.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I guess that's been one of the things that's kind of been keeping people kind of not losing their crap on the internet. Yeah. Like some have been.
When they announced it, like he went out of his way to explain that this was inspired by real life
events.
It came to me while I was doing this.
He was supposed to do like a speech at a school or something like that, and he didn't get to do the event or whatever for some reason. But he's heard about this one girl at the school and was inspired by her story to create this character.
Basically, he went out of his way to make the buttholes online that are going to be like, this is just filling a diversity quotient. It's not actual writing, blah, blah, blah. Like, he went out of his way to explain that this is a thing that I wanted to do because I wanted to do it.
Yeah, and that's cool. You know, Tony Stark's not going to go away. His character is going to come back. There's no reason for people to get upset over this.
This is the same conversation we had about Captain America 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's the same one that we've had about Thor and back when Miles Morales was created. Because we were doing this when, in fact, I think we were, that was, yeah, I think we were. I think that was something we brought up. Anyway, whatever.
That was a while ago.
Whatever. They're not making you burn all your old Iron Man comics starring Tony Stark. It's not like Robert Downey Jr. is going to stop being Iron Man in the movies. This is a story that Brian Michael Bendis wants to tell, and this is the character that he wants to tell it with, and that's great.
And if they just use the same characters all the time forever, you'd get bored.
It would get boring.
They got to change it up every once in a while for, you know, 6 issues or whatever, just to keep it interesting.
And there have been other Iron Men. Shoot, Rhodey was Iron Man for a while.
He was the Iron Man when Tony was drunk, you know, being an alcoholic.
Yeah, for a time, Tony was de-aged to like 15, and he was a kid inside Iron Man armor. I don't know how he got re-aged back to adulthood. I think it was just kind of hand-waved.
Hashtag comics.
Yeah, of course. But this is nothing new. Like I said, this is a story that Brian Michael Bendis wants to tell, and it's with the characters that he wants to tell it with. And
the art design is solid, and I like it.
Yeah.
And if some 15-year-old African-American girls get really excited about Iron Man, that's cool.
Then that's great. Bring more readers into the medium, because that's what comics need, are more readers.
Yeah, it's been stagnant for years, but it's nice to see the numbers changing.
I'm all for new readers.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah. New readers, diversity in readers.
Uh-huh. Because diversity in readers will eventually create diversity in writers.
Exactly.
Have you ever seen, like, the DC or Marvel, like, bullpen modern day?
No.
90% of them are bald white guys with goatees.
It's like cops.
That's, yeah.
It's like a bunch of cops.
Yeah. Yeah. But if diversity in readers breeds diversity in writers, and... Mm-hmm. That means different stories.
Yeah, diverse writers tell more interesting, different stories.
I totally agree.
It's all about bringing in new blood.
And speaking of bringing in new blood, Boom Studios is going to try to bring in some new blood with some stories that they're going to tell starring wrestlers. They're going to be making wrestling comics, which is weird because comic books about wrestlers, pro wrestlers, and their onstage personas is nothing new. I remember there was an Undertaker comic years ago. I never read it because of wrestling, but they've always been like low pressed, like independently made, kind of
not very good,
not super great.
Probably something that was that personal wrestler's idea,
pretty much. Yeah,
like, I want to do a comic about me.
Yeah, but this is different because it's been picked up by Boom Studios, which, while not, you know, your main Marvel or DC, is definitely like second tier.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. They're up there now. Like,
yeah,
they're getting bigger and bigger all the time.
They have, well, they're the ones it was the company that was started by Mark Waid. It was the one that had Irredeemable, which was really good. It's the one that currently has the Darkwing Duck line.
The Power Rangers line.
Yeah,
I feel like
Power Rangers.
They got Adventure Time. That exploded.
The Adventure Time.
They have almost all of the Cartoon Network shows.
Yep. Yeah. I think they even have the My Little Pony one, don't they?
I believe so. Yeah.
And
no, I think that's IDW.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I don't know why I know that, but
no, your ponies. You know,
let's see here.
You know your ponies.
They have.
No,
they have,
I really
Zim?
Do.
I think they have Zim.
No, Zim is Oni.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right,
Zim's Oni.
Man, I'm losing it.
Yeah, it's the morning, trust me. Yeah. But no, this is interesting. And they've really only shown like a couple teaser images.
The art looked good. I mean, it was a cool looking John Cena.
It looked like John Cena. Sure.
He was boop boo doop boo.
We could see him on that comic cover.
On that cover.
I reject it. You can't. You can't see John Cena.
You can't see John Cena. You refuse to see John Cena? Yeah.
That they should do a cover that's just a floating pair of wristbands and a hat.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, that would be, yeah.
His power is that he's the invisible man because you can't see him.
Yeah. See, that's the other thing. There's no real, there hasn't been any announcement of the story.
Or anything about it.
Are the wrestlers superheroes? Are they just their wrestler personas?
From the look of that cover, it just looks like wrestling.
Yeah. So, I mean, cool. And it brings in a whole subset of readers. I mean, a lot of there is a big crossover between wrestling and comic books, from
what I
understand.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
They're not that different.
not really.
This has popped in my head, and mm-hmm. We didn't really put it on the thing or anything, but what's his name? Stardust?
Goldust. No, there's a Stardust.
No, there's a Stardust and a Goldust.
Yeah, Stardust is going to be on Arrow.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that makes sense because I guess there was a WrestleMania or a Raw or something where Stephen Amell got up and took a chair to the face by Stardust or Goldust, one of the two.
Stardust.
One of the Dust Boys.
The Dustman.
The Dustman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Stardust.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hey, that's cool.
And it all started because Stephen Amell happened to go to a wrestling event and he saw him in the crowd and he like stormed off the ring in his persona and got like in Stephen Amell's
face.
Because
Stardust is like a supervillain.
Yeah.
In his wrestling
persona.
Yeah,
and he's even like crashed Stephen Amell panels at Comic-Con.
We're reaching the maximum limit of my wrestle knowledge. Yeah. I do not know. I don't know.
The only reason I know this is because of all the crap that connects into the Arrowverse.
Arrow, yeah, okay. See, I think it's cool. Why not?
Yeah,
I'm not gonna read
them. I'm not gonna read them, but no. But someone will, and that's great. And if it can bring a couple more readers into comic books, then
and more
so
money
be it.
For Boom.
Yeah, and so be it. this is a
speaking of weird comics.
This is a dumb one. We can't talk about it long. But last year for San Diego Comic Con, there was probably one of the weirdest like merchandising tie-in one-off comics that was created, and we talked about it last year, I think. The Adventures of Colonel Sanders by DC Comics.
The chicken guy,
yeah, the colonel. And it was a free giveaway at the DC booth, and people read it and liked it and thought it was funny. Well, this year they're doing it again, the Crisis on Infinite Earths version, where the colonel has forgotten his 11 herbs and spices.
Except one.
He knows one of them. So he has to go to 10 alternate reality Earths to meet 10 different other...
alternate reality colonels.
Colonels. It's the colonel core is what the comic's called.
Each know one part of the recipe.
Yes. While battling their super villain from Earth 3, where everyone's villains, Colonel Sunder. And it's pretty great. It looks pretty great. There's
it's so comic book.
Oh, like, it, in the best way.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a bizarro colonel and like a woman colonel.
Chicken colonel.
There's a colonel that's an actual chicken.
Which seems awfully dark.
Yeah.
There's weird meat. Cyber future colonel. And they all have that goofy goatee. Well, except for the female colonel. She doesn't have the goatee. Although that would be kind of funny.
Yes, she should.
She should have had the goatee. Even the chicken looked like his
waddle yeah.
looked like the goatee.
It's weird.
It's weird.
Thanks
but
a lot, DC.
I'm looking forward to it. It's on Comixology for free right now, and they're giving away physical copies at this year's San Diego Comic Con.
And it's like full of chicken puns.
It
and
is.
Like,
absolutely.
The writing seems like pretty hilarious.
They get
like,
it. Yeah, the writer gets it. It almost reads almost like one of those Hostess fruit pie. But instead of a one page, it's a full-on comic.
It's kind of weird. Like, it almost seems like they're kind of going off with the way the commercials have been going lately.
Oh,
where they have a different
weird.
A different comedian playing the colonel all the time.
Not just comedians. It's George Hamilton, the guy who's super, super tan.
Oh, they've had a bunch.
Yeah, because
Norm Macdonald was one.
Yeah.
Daryl Hammond was one.
He was the first one, I think.
Yep. And I want to say,
according to the letters section in it, because there's a fake letters mm-hmm. section in it, the colonel has literally come back to life Like it mentions that, yeah, he died in 1980 or whatever. I think it was 1980. But now he's literally back to make sure KFC's making chicken good.
That's great. I love how fast food places, their marketing is kind of going off the rails.
Do you remember when Burger King had Xbox games?
Yeah.
The Sneak King was great.
Sneak King is awesome. Also terrifying.
Oh, sure.
That's the only one I got was Sneak King, but... The other ones
Sneak King was like
too.
The only like really good one that was actually like worth
one
it.
One was a cart game, I think.
Yeah, one of them was a race cart game. Yeah.
Yeah. But
do that again.
Yeah. But like just social media for fast food outside of McDonald's, because McDonald's has actually stayed pretty tame. But like Arby's.
Oh my God. Arby's is killing it.
They're on point.
Whoever is like in charge of their social media gets everything.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord.
You can even dial it back to the Wendy's girl, Wendy, from the commercials, the redhead.
I think they just call her Red now.
Oh, they just call her Red now?
She's
okay.
She's not supposed to be Wendy.
I always thought she was supposed to be Wendy.
Yeah.
They just call her Red.
Well, whatever. But those commercials were a little grating at times, but they were good.
Back when like there was like all those like McDonald's adventure games on old Nintendo.
Oh yeah.
All McKids is a rad game.
Yeah.
Like I'm not kidding. It does a lot of cool stuff that even like Mario 3 doesn't do. Like it's a rad platformer.
Really? Cool. Oh, God. You guys remember the McDonald Land? All the different like Sid and Marty Krofft knockoff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Mary McCheese.
Yeah.
Big Mac the police officer.
Those creepy fry kids.
Oh, yeah, those fried kids.
Oh, a lot of the McDonald Land characters used to be terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
And they dialed them back.
Remember Forearm Grimace?
Yeah.
So you could steal your shakes?
Yeah, he Grimace used to be evil.
He was the bad guy, yeah.
That's why his name is Grimace.
Yeah.
I remember, like, when the McDonald's, one of the McDonald's here in town, when it was the one on Main Street and they had their outdoor play place.
Sure.
They had a big steel Grimace.
Iron Grimace?
Yeah. It was like his belly was made of like metal bars, and you got inside and it like was on springs and you rocked in it. I'm like,
I'm trapped in the Grimace.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to it now and I'm like, ooh. Does that mean he ate me?
It's a steel cage match. Two men enter the Grimace, one man leaves.
You've been vored by the Grimace.
Oh, God.
Some people pay a lot of money to get in that Grimace.
That's a thing.
Yeah, they don't really use the McDonald's characters anymore.
No, they don't.
No.
It's a real
like they
shame.
Had that really short like Return of the Hamburglar campaign.
And that I liked that. That was funny.
That was goofy.
Robble.
That was really goofy.
But
they
don't
even use Ronald McDonald all
Not
that
even
much.
That often, no.
They don't market their stuff to kids anymore.
It's because he's a crappy clown.
Yeah.
And nobody likes clowns.
Well, there for a while, he was like fitness clown.
Yeah. They gave him a jumpsuit.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was peddling his go-gurt.
Yeah.
His go-gurts. Apple slices. Let's move on to another subject.
I'm getting hungry. Let's move on.
So speaking of things that are coming back from the past, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's Samurai Jack.
I got it.
Yeah. Nailed it.
So Samurai Jack is coming back to Cartoon Network.
Classic Cartoon Network show.
Well, a classic Cartoon Network show on Adult Swim now.
Yeah.
And they're upping the maturity rating on it.
Yeah. It's for adults now.
Yep.
Which, I mean, makes sense because fans of it are adults now.
Yeah.
And they're actually finishing the story.
That's cool because...
That's the part that I'm super excited about. Mm-hmm.
The original story was Samurai Jack was a samurai from the past that was transported to the far-flung future by his arch-nemesis, Akuma.
Aku.
Right? Aku. Aku. Yeah.
Akuma is Street Fighter.
That's the thing that makes me really sad.
Mako.
Yeah, Mako, voice of Aku, passed away a number of years ago. And there are people out there that can do decent impressions of him, but it never quite felt right. Like, he was a voice on Avatar, mm-hmm. The Last Airbender. And it never quite felt right in the later seasons after he passed away.
I agree.
But they try.
Yep.
But the show is like, it's still one of my all-time favorites.
Super stylized.
Oh, yeah.
The animation is astounding.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a...
Getty Tartakovsky.
Yep.
Which and, he always does. He does everything good.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever made anything
He
was
originally Dexter's Lab, right?
He was one of the original Dexter Labs guys. Him and Craig McCracken both worked on it originally.
Right. Yeah.
He made an Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, he didn't do Foster's.
Craig McCracken.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
I really like, I'm a big fan of Foster's, so.
Oh, yeah. Foster's was great. It was very stylized, too. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the big things with Jack was there are no, like, hard outlines of things.
Right.
It's all just color.
Yeah.
But Genndy Tartakovsky made an Adam Sandler movie that was good.
Yeah.
Like, Hotel Transylvania is good.
Right.
And 100% because he directed it.
Oh, yeah.
He also did a lot of those Star Wars Clone Wars animated shorts.
Yeah, I've never
seen
those.
The ones before Episode 3 came out. Yeah.
Yeah. Those were really good.
Yeah, I've heard they're really good.
I own all those.
Yeah.
They're amazing. They're real short, but they're amazing.
Anyway, he's bringing Samurai Jack back, and it's they wanted to add blood. They wanted to actually add action and blood and stuff like that, and so it's TVMA.
I don't think it's going to take away from the show.
I don't think it is either.
The only thing that worries me is usually when they take a show that was originally for kids and then suddenly age it up and take the restraints away, it gets bad. Like the Ren and Stimpy, when Ren and Stimpy came back Spike TV and suddenly it was
horrible. Oh, the Ren and Stimpy adult party cartoon?
Yeah, but, because they weren't reining in John Kay.
But then again, they were purposely adding extra stuff. This, it just seems like they're swapping out robots for people. Like, Jack was constantly getting covered in, like, black, like,
goo.
Yeah.
The show, even as a kid show, quote unquote kid show, was a hyper violent show.
It was, it was very action packed. Action oriented.
It's an amazing show.
They just wanted to color the robot innards red.
It goes in a logical direction.
Yeah. Like it will still be good. That's just the only cravat I could think of.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I get your concern.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be, because I think they have an idea of where they want it to go,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's the direction they're going to go. I don't think they're shopping to keep this an ongoing thing.
Right. They want to tell the end of the story.
Yeah, they basically just want, they want to get the story finished.
It's basically a mini-series event, probably.
Yeah. Probably. Oh, yeah.
Also, it's caveat, not cravat. Cravat is like a
Yeah, that's a Philly thing that you wear. Whoops.
Yeah.
I meant caveat.
There you go.
Cravat is what Miles Edgeworth wears. Oh, does this mean in 10 years they're going to bring back Symbionic Titan?
I wish. That'd be great.
That was a pretty good show. I like that show.
Symbionic Titan. Yeah, okay, I do remember that one.
I don't think I ever watched that
one. For some reason, I get that one and the one where the two guys built the muscle car into a
Megas
robot.
Megas XLR.
Yeah, I get
that one's good.
Up. I like Megas XLR.
I never
XLR.
Watched that, but it
was
like
weird,
it was
but
good.
It's good.
Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah, the head of the robot is the muscle car.
Mm-hmm. I always picture that it was like a Bulk and Skull kind of.
Yeah, they kind of were.
Yeah.
There were a couple of dumb, grease monkeys.
Yeah, pretty much.
Who built an intergalactic fighting robot.
But yeah.
Symbionic Titan was a Genndy thing, too.
Oh, that's right. It was. Yeah.
Yeah, I never saw that one. Yeah. I feel bad for not watching it now.
You're the reason why it got canceled now.
Oh, shush.
I didn't watch it that often either. I watched a few episodes here and there and liked it.
Well, you're the reason Young Justice got canceled.
Probably. I didn't watch that at all, except later.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we mentioned Power Rangers before. Let's do this one real quick. In an interview with Bryan Cranston, because people can't stop talking to him about how he's going to be Zordon, he mentioned that he would not, after reading the script, the new Power Rangers movie is... shares a lot of closer ties to the Dark Knight, the Batman, the second Batman.
The Nolan Batman.
Like the darkest of the three.
Also the best one.
The best one, sure, but I don't know. That comment does not garner the enthusiasm in me that it has with a lot of people, because, again, I'm remembering the original Power Rangers series, and... Power Rangers isn't supposed to be dark.
Yeah, you've actually watched Power Rangers recently, which I think a lot of these people haven't seen it since they were 8.
Of that age?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they have no context to how it actually is.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. A super serious Power Rangers just doesn't sound appealing to me.
It's not a serious... It's not even the slightest bit serious.
It's not supposed to be.
It's goofy and silly.
So I'm not... I'm a little concerned. My concern is back up. For this, it's not for me, it's not for us, but
why would you hire Elizabeth Banks if you don't want her to be hilarious?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
that's a valid point. Just a very valid point.
I just don't know about this one.
I'm like sitting there like, who's watching the Hunger Games? You know what, she'd be a great Rita.
she actually kind of looks kind of like her in the Hunger Games.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
She was funny in the Hunger Games, though, too.
Yeah, like, that's true.
She's the closest the Hunger Games has to like comic relief.
Yeah,
she was probably my favorite part, my favorite thing in the movies.
That is mahogany.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm just not as hype.
Does it mean it's gonna be dark like Dark Knight, or it's gonna be good like Dark Knight? Because that's the thing we don't know.
That's the $1 million question.
I think he's meaning dark. Like tonally like Dark Knight.
Yeah. Which... And visually, it's going to be real dark out. You have to use some flashlights.
Well, as long as it's not the lights on their helmets.
Yeah, so they're going to put lights inside their helmets?
No, they don't have to. They have lights on their chest, remember? Those big glowing orbs? Those diamond things on their chest? Yeah.
Mm. I saw some article that used that picture of them in their armor and said, look, it's Iron Man's kids.
Yeah, and they're not wrong.
Iron teens.
Yeah, I just don't.
With attitude.
Yeah, I just don't
Though,
know.
I did recently see some on the set principal action shots.
Mm-hmm.
And the suit looks a little better in a physical form.
Right, but that's before they add a bunch of CG garbage on top of it.
I don't like the helmet.
Yeah.
It's like a mask helmet thing.
Mm.
I forget. Does it have little metal lips?
Yeah.
Yes.
At least they got that right.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any CGR tracker thingies on it, so
maybe they won't. Maybe their mouths won't move.
Oh, I hope not.
That would ruin everything.
Yeah, that'd be really weird and dumb. Yeah.
It'd be like in Starkid when he's trying to eat and the suit is eating for him and it's like chewing it up into a ball and shoving it in his mouth inside the suit.
Oh my god, I have forgotten about Starkid.
What is Starkid?
Starkid was a 90s. Was it made for TV?
No, it was a theatrical release.
It's a weird movie about a alien battle armor that is sentient, and it basically Blue Beetle's a kid.
That's what I was gonna say. It's Blue Beetle.
Yeah, and it's a comedy, and it's weird.
It was, yeah.
The suit looks kind of like the Guyver.
It's That's right. It reminded me a lot of the Guyver. Yeah, I'm looking it up because.
Ew.
Yeah.
Ew, that's an ugly suit.
Oh yeah. he gets hungry, and so he, like, the suit chews it up for him and makes a ball and shoves it in his mouth. He's like, oh, gross, what is that? He goes, I have removed all the unneeded things and only nutrients. And he goes, I didn't want that at all. I wanted a burger.
Yeah.
There's, like, another point where he has to use the restroom, and he's
didn't need to explore that.
And he's like, opening urinary aperture or something, and it's like in his chest because it's like an alien suit, so it's designed for an alien race.
That he's like out of their chest,
and he's like running around trying to figure out how he's going to use the restroom. It's a dumb movie.
It's really dumb, but I remember watching it as a kid.
Oh yeah, like, I watched it a lot as a kid,
and I totally forgot about Star Kid.
Yeah,
the suit design looks like one of the butt ugly Martians.
A little bit,
kind of. It also looks kind of like the steel suit from that Shaq movie.
Oh, that's bad. That's bad. That steel suit that made Shaq look cross-eyed every time he wore the helmet.
Wait, Shaq is cross-eyed.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh.
He is a little cross-eyed.
Well, then no wonder he looked cross-eyed in the...
I didn't know Shaq was cross-eyed.
Yeah, because I hadn't looked that close.
Yeah. He always looks a little weird.
Oh, well, there you go. I learned something today.
It's also why he couldn't shoot free throws.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Because he was terrible at it.
Shaq Burns. Welcome to Nerd Overload, your source for sports jokes.
That's about the extent of my sports knowledge. Yeah. Making fun of the way people...
It was a good one, though.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah. All right, so we have one last one here, and it's a real quick one. A few weeks ago, Hulu announced that they were cutting ties with their CW superhero shows.
Which is sad.
Which is a bummer, because they had...
Pretty much one of the reasons I have Hulu.
Yeah, they had next day...
Airings,
and we didn't know what was going to happen with the Flash, Arrow, and now Supergirl.
Yep.
iZombie.
And iZombie, yeah, and all those.
Supernatural.
Yeah, just keep naming them. I don't know, whatever. And we were wondering what was going to happen, whether CW was going to put them on the Seed app that never works, or if they're going to do something else. Well, it was announced that Netflix is going to be getting all of the new episodes of next season's CW.
Right after the season finale.
Yep. And they get them 8 days after they air, which is fair. That's fair. It's a week plus one day. Yeah. That's fine. But
I can deal.
Yeah, so now there's no worry about missing any of the Flashes or Arrows or
Legends of Tomorrow is.
Yeah.
Like, at first, I was kind of bummed about it, but I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, I'm really behind as it is, so...
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they'll keep more than, like, however many episodes...
Two or three episodes.
...at a time.
Yeah. I would imagine so. So, it's a good move. It's smart. It's kind
it's
of
Netflix.
What I was...
It's a safe bet.
Yeah. Yes.
Netflix needs to get more new stuff more regularly.
I agree.
That's not their own stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you mean you don't want more Fuller House?
Because the rest of America disagrees.
Well, the rest of America needs to tone it down a bit.
Yeah.
They need to cut it out.
Oh, my God.
And with that, we're going to go ahead and end the show. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank
Holy
you very
chalupas.
Much. Thank you for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Hey, if you do Facebook, and I know you do, you can find us at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can email us with any questions, concerns, deep thoughts,
complaints, inaccuracies,
anything.
TV quotes.
Yeah.
Anything at staff@nerdoverload.com.
You can tweet us at @nerd_overload, just whatever you want. You can subscribe to us on the YouTube at Nerd Overload TV.
Yep, and we're on iTunes and Stitcher and at WZMOFM.com on Saturdays.
At 10 a.m. and 9 p.m.
Yep, that's it. So yeah, thanks again for tuning in, and until next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by MB Subculture Comics and Costumes.